You're about to listen to an audio sermon by Pastor John Pierre Becker. For information on this podcast or any other resources, visit gfm.co.za or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
When he comes, he's coming back for a praying bride. A bride that prays, that seeks His face. We've touched just briefly on this last Sunday evening, but I want to complete it this morning. I didn't complete it last Sunday evening. Isaiah 52, if you would please. Isaiah 52 verse 1 says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength." There the word is again, awake. Awake means pray. Every time the Bible mentions awake, it says pray. So in other words, when it says awake, awake, it's saying pray, pray. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Now we know in Matthew 26, 41, Jesus meets His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane and He tells them, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That was a prophetic picture of the 21st century church that is asleep. The church is a sleeping giant. Nowadays, we have people that can't even pray 5 minutes in the Holy Ghost. Which Jesus expects us to pray at least an hour every day in the Holy Ghost. Is there any Holy Ghost-filled people here this morning? Jeremiah 10:25 says that God will pour out His fury on the Gentiles and on the families who do not call on His name. That means that God will judge the prayer lists. Two judgments in the end time. In the book of Joel chapter number 2, at the end of the book, at the end of chapter 2 of Joel 2, we find two judgments. Number one, God will judge the house of God. The church that doesn't pray will be judged. The Christian that doesn't pray will be judged. Can you say amen? Amen. Now in this chapter of Isaiah 52 verse 1 to 2, we see about six promises, and I've mentioned it to you last week, that when we pray, what happens when we pray? Number one, we put on spiritual strength. Strength against Satan and strength against spiritual weakness. Secondly, we put on new holy garments. The garment of righteousness. Sin will not be able to touch us. I'm going to rush myself because I've touched on this already. The uncircumcised, thirdly, the uncircumcised and the unclean will not be a part of us. We will no longer have fellowship with the wicked. Number four, we will stop running around asking for prayer. Instead, we will arise and be free. Then number five, we will experience the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Number six, we will finally be loose from sin and temptation. A person that prays finds it difficult to sin, finds it difficult to fall into the temptations of sin. Can you say amen? Now this I didn't cover. I want you to write it down. In verse 6, God continues, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am in the midst. Behold, I speak. Number 7, we will know God and His power. Number 8, finally the one who pays the price will be used for the greatest possible service unto God. Now here in Isaiah 52 verse 7, it says how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now in Isaiah 52 from verse 3 to 5, the Bible gives the results of not awaking. Clap somebody, say awake. It gives the result of those people that remain in prayerlessness. It says, for thus says the Lord God, my people went down first into Egypt to dwell there. The Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now what have I here, says the Lord of hosts, that my people are taken away for nothing. Those who rule over them make them to wail, says the Lord. And my name is blasphemed continually every day. Now in this portion, we find six horrible results of prayerlessness. I want you to write it down. If we don't pray, number one, we will sell ourselves to the devil for nothing.
If you don't have a lifestyle of prayer, it means you are slowly but surely selling yourself to the devil for nothing. Number one, if we do not awake, we will sell ourselves to the devil for nothing. Secondly, if we don't pray, we will go back to Egypt. We will backslide. You see, when we stop praying, when we stop having an intimate relationship with the bridegroom, suddenly now the voice of God begins to fade away. Where you used to hear the voice of God when you prayed and you seek the face of God, and it was no problem fasting, it was no problem getting up early in the morning seeking the face of God, but now you are slowly but surely going back to Egypt. The moment we stop praying, the moment we stop seeking the face of God, is the moment we go back to Egypt. Thirdly, if we don't pray, we will become oppressed. People that don't pray feel oppressed. They feel like they want to cut their pulse. Every day they wake up feeling the press. When they open up their mouths, it's just negative talk. How will I make it through this day? How will I beat my problems? But a person that is praying, seeking the face of God, he's full of the anointing, full of the power of God, full of the energy of God, saying, I can face this day. I can overcome this depression. I can overcome this oppression. I will not be dominated by the world's depression and the system of the world oppressing me. I will pray, and as I pray, I will break through. Is there any prayer warriors this morning? Thirdly, if we don't pray, we become oppressed. I've mentioned to you last week that Jesus, number one, had a time to pray. Very early in the morning, Jesus got up, went to a solitary place, and there he prayed, and he sought the face of his Father. Secondly, Jesus had priority in prayer. He had priority in prayer, which means that when he prayed in the morning, he tapped into the thoughts of his Father, and he manifested the thoughts of his Father in the earth realm. Thirdly, Jesus had a place of prayer. He prayed in the mountains, and that's where he spent time with his Heavenly Father. When Jesus came down the mountain, he began to manifest the thoughts of his Father. So whatever is permitted in heaven must be permitted on the earth. So if you're a prayer warrior, if you're a prayer warrior and you tap into the thoughts of your Heavenly Father, it means that you can bring what is up there down here. If healing is permitted in heaven, we can permit healing on the earth. If deliverance is permitted in heaven, we can permit deliverance in the earth. Whatever you bound on the... Oh, I feel the anointing of this. Whatever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have the power to bind and loose. That is by tapping into the thoughts of your Father and bringing heaven to earth. Somebody give God praise in this place. Come on. That wasn't part of the message. It's free. Thirdly, if we don't pray, we will become oppressed. Fourthly, we will be taken away like slaves. If we don't pray, we will be taken away like slaves. Number five, if we don't pray, we will cry, wail from the bondage that we are in. Number six, the wicked will blaspheme God, a condition we see in our society today because we Christians don't pray. Number one, he's coming back for a bride that prays. Praying is intimacy. Say with me, intimacy. You see, there's a problem there. There is a marriage problem going on in the body of Christ because the bride has no intimacy with the bridegroom. If there is intimacy with the bridegroom, we will see breakthrough. We will see increase. We will see every need met. Come here, baby. Come here quickly. How many of you agree my wife, she's looking beautiful today? I must focus on the cross. But this is the revelation. If she is not intimate with me, I am the bridegroom. She is. See the prophetic picture? Amen. she's the bride, she's the church. Now I represent Jesus Christ. If she is not intimate. Now that was not that intimate because that was a puksunki. I'm talking about French kiss. I'm talking about give it to me, baby. Alien. Say with me, intimacy. You know what happens when intimacy comes? Fruitfulness comes. Thank you, baby. The reason why some people are unfruitful is because there's no intimacy. If there's genuine intimacy, there's genuine fruitfulness. Somebody say fruitfulness. He's coming back for number one, a praying bride. Say we'll be praying. Secondly, write it down. He's coming back for a ready bride. This bride is so ready. She doesn't have any wrinkles. She doesn't have any spots. She's ready. Say with me, ready. Turn to somebody, say, you have to be ready. I'm rushing myself. Thirdly, we should want to become more like Jesus. We should want to become more like Jesus. Number one, we must be praying. Secondly, we must be ready. Thirdly, we must want to become more like Jesus. I say like John, less of me and more of you. Let your presence increase in my life. Let your glory increase in my life. Let your power increase in my life. Thirdly, we must want to become more like Jesus. I'm closing with this. It says in 2 Peter 3 verse 11. I love this translation. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. I want the musicians to come. You ought to live holy, godly lives. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, that's referring to the second coming, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Wow. Say with me, ready, just like Jesus. Just play. Fourthly, write it down. We should be anxiously waiting for His return. We should be anxiously waiting for His return. Say with me, anxiously, excitingly, earnestly waiting for His return. How many of you have missed somebody and now they say, I'm coming back from New Zealand. It might be a family member and you haven't seen them in years. How many of you agree with me? When you see them, you're anxious to see them. You're excited to see them. You can't wait to see them. You want to somehow open the door for them because you haven't seen them in a long time. We have to be anxiously waiting for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I am excited for His return. I'm so excited. I want to run. Come on. I can't wait to see His beautiful face. I can't wait to encounter His embrace. Somebody jump up on your feet and give Him praise. Watch this now. We must earnestly, expectingly wait for Him. Be seated. Whew. Which means we have to get excited when we sing the song, when the bridegroom comes back for His bride, He will find her here worshiping Him. I'm telling you, the second coming of Jesus Christ, it is a romantic, loving story. It is about the bride being so in love with the bridegroom. She can't wait to get a hold of Him. And she can't wait to take people with her where the lover is taking them. Oh my God. This brings me to my final point. Number five. We should be working. We should be working. We should be working. We should be working. It's not good enough to be anxiously waiting for your lover to come and fetch you. And you're not taking somebody with you. We have to take people with us. The only thing we can take to heaven is souls. The only thing we can take to eternity is souls. Your big brown house in Pretoria is going to burn up in fire. Your nice car, it's going to burn up in fire. It's only your brother, your sister, your neighborhood, your school, come on, your college, your university that we can take to heaven. Somebody shout souls. We have to be, number five, we have to be working. Watch this, I'm closing with this. Write it down. Working, or let me rewind. Watching is evidence of faith. Watching is evidence of faith. You watching for the Lord's return, expecting the Lord's return, you are full of faith. You're waiting for Him. You're watching, waiting for His return, expectantly. But listen now. Working is evidence of faith in action. Working is evidence of faith in action. Watching is the evidence of your faith. Working is the evidence of your faith in action. Turn to somebody, say, we have to work. Let me read this to you quickly. Go quickly in your Bibles to the book of Luke 12. Luke chapter number 12 and verse 42. Luke 12 verse 42. I want you to follow me quickly. Somebody say, working. Working, 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 working. Luke 12 and verse 42 says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful steward, the wise man, who his master will set over those in his household, service to supply them their allowance of food at the appointed time? Watch this now. Blessed, happy, and to be envied is that servant. The Afrikaans Bible say dienstnag, servant whom his master finds doing when he arrives. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is that servant whom the master finds doing the work of an evangelist, doing the work of evangelism, doing the work of witnessing, doing the work of doing business. Listen to me. He expects us to work hard when He returns. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, I am not a preacher, but I'm a businessman. Listen, He expects you to work hard in your business, because when your business flourishes, you can build the kingdom of God with your finance. When your business moves forward, the kingdom of God moves forward. Somebody say, work it. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, work diligently. The Bible says, if a man doesn't work, he can't eat. God will not bless lazy people. God will bless the people that's working hard. Hard in their business. Hard in their company. Hard in the workplace. Just think about it for a moment. When you get a double salary, it means double tithe, which means double crusades, double gospel campaigns, double souls. Come on. Somebody say, I have to be working. I have to be working. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is that servant whom the master finds doing. Another translation says, working. Say with me, I have to work it. I have to work it. I have to work it. Watch this now. Truly, I tell you, he will set him in charge over all his possessions. Woo! You want to be a ruler over much. Be faithful in your work. Be faithful in your business. And God will make you ruler over much. Watch this now. But if that servant says in his heart, be careful now, listen. My master is late in coming and begins to strike the men servants and the maids and begin to drink and eat and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and on an hour which he does not know, and he will punish him, he will cut him off, and he will assign his lot with the unfaithful. Listen now. And that servant, watch this, this is very dangerous. Turn to somebody, say, this is dangerous. And that servant whom knew his master's will, jy ken die wil van die Here, jy weet jy moet siele veng, jy weet jy moet jou tiende gee, This is dangerous right now. And that servant who knew his master's will, listen now, but did not get ready or act as he would wish him to act, he shall be beaten with many lashes. You know, the judgment is greater on us that know than on those that don't know. We know we have to do something for God. We know we have to tithe. We know we have to build the kingdom. We know we have to sow into the kingdom. God says your lashes, our lashes is more if we're not doing something when he returns. Turn to somebody, say, ain't I ouch. But he who did not know, this is for those that did not really know. But he who did not know and did things worthy of beating shall be beaten with only a few lashes. In ander woorde, hy sê, die wat nie geweet het, die gaan net bietjie bakslag kry. Maar die wat baie geweet het, gaan hard bakslag kry. Amen. Watch this now. For to everyone to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. We have received much of the anointing. We have to give it away. We have received much of the power of God. We have to give it away. It's required of us to give it away, to minister more, release the power of God more, pray for the sick more, lead people to Jesus more. Much is given. Much is required. Turn to somebody and say, it's too late now. Jou pakslaas groot. As jy nie iets doen vir die Here nie. I say your hiding is big. If you're not doing, if you're not working, your lashes is big. Maar beter dat jy by die huis gebly het. Maar nou weet jy, so dis verby. Then to somebody say, to whom much is given, much is required. Woo! Write this down. Watching for the Lord's return will help us prepare our own lives. But working will assure that we will take others with us. Watching for the Lord's return will prepare our lives. But taking others with us, it's what it's really all about. So when your life is right, you begin to reach other people for the kingdom of God. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God wants every single one of us sitting under this white tent this morning, watching on live stream. God wants you to do something. God wants you to work for him. Do business. Occupy until Christ comes. Win souls. Evangelize. Do business. Expand the kingdom. Somebody give God praise in this place. Come on. Let's jump to this quickly. Luke 19:12. Luke 19 and verse 12. I'm taking you somewhere. Luke 19 and verse 12. We find these words. And he said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Luke 19 verse 12 to 13. Occupy till I come. Write this quickly down. The word occupy, number one, means working. Secondly, doing business. Thirdly, taking territory. Say with me, occupy until Christ comes. Number one, it's working. That's physically in your business world, wherever you are at. Can you say amen? Evangelizing, can you say amen? Working hard. Secondly, we have to be occupying. That's business. And then thirdly, take territory. Turn to somebody, say, take territory. Until the kingdoms of this world become subject to the kingdom of our God. Turn to somebody, say, take it back. Take it back, take it back, take it back. Take back your schools. Take back your college. Take back your university. Take back the workplace. Take back the marketplace. Turn to somebody, say, take it back. Watch this now. Luke chapter number 2. We're going to close with Jesus. Luke chapter number 2 and verse 42. Luke 2:42. I want you to look at Jesus quickly. Luke chapter number 2 and verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as was their custom. This was on the feast of Passover. Joseph and Mary took Jesus every year to the feast. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know this. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they traveled on a day's journey. And then they sought him diligently, looking up and down for him among the king's folk and acquaintances. And when they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem, looking for him up and down all the way. After 3 days, they found him, came upon him in the court of the temple. Ooh, listen to this. Sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Beautiful. And all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. And when Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Here your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, distressed and tormented." Watch this now. Look at the reply of the Christ. I love Jesus. Listen now. And he said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business?" Number one, he tells them, "I am in my father's house." Secondly, "I am doing my father's business." Number one, "I am found in my father's house." He's going to come back for a church that's found in their father's house. He's going to come back for a bride that's found in the courts of their king. There is a result. There is fruit that was produced. Listen now. Jesus is found in the temple. And he tells his parents, "I'm about my father's business. I'm in my father's house." But this is the verse I want to get to. Watch this. Because Jesus was busy with his father's business, it says the following. And Jesus, the last verse, "And Jesus increased in wisdom, in broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in favor with God and favor with man." Favor with God and favor with man. We want God to increase us. We want God to expand us, expand our business, expand our resource. But we are not found in the house of God. We are not occupied with the business of our Father. So this is the test. When we ask God for an increase in salary, this must be in the back of our head. Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing for your kingdom. Bless me so that I can tithe more. Bless me so that I can give more. Occupied with my father's business, stand upon your feet and give God praise if you believe it in this place. Come on.
You have listened to an audio sermon by Pastor John Pierre Backer. For information on this podcast or any other resources, visit gfem.co.za or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.